go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
If you could take the songs in your bulletin and you take them through the week and you read them and sing them and put that in your worship, you say, well, I can't sing. You can sing in your worship because God takes ashes and turns them into beauty all the time. So just sing to the Lord. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, guess what? If you're reading your Bible, you're going to talk about Jesus. You are. You're going to say, man, I got this great verse. And you don't have to try. It just becomes intuitive and natural. But it's not natural in the churches today. What's natural is I go to church. If somebody asks you, you know, are you a church person? You might say, yeah, I'm a church person. But do you love Jesus? Is really the key, isn't it? Because really loving Jesus impacts how you speak. It also impacts how you see lost people around you. If you've got a mom, a dad, or a sister, a brother, or somebody you really are close to and you know they're lost, it's going to bother you that they're not saved if you know where we are in this timeline. Because whatever happens after the rapture is not going to be good. None of it's going to be good. And we're right there. The Bible says in this passage that he knows how to reserve the unjust, those who don't really have the imputed righteousness of Christ. He says he knows how to reserve those people unto the day of judgment to be punished. Why are they pulled out? Because he's talking about false teachers. He says in verse 10, not just the unjust, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. These false teachers are able to go beyond good, sound judgment that has been handed down. And they go beyond it and begin to take all the things you've ever heard and begin to twist them. I have a friend who is my age, who I met as a young man going into youth ministry. And he and I at times would cover for the preacher. And every now and then he'd put me and this other fella up on the pulpit and he'd say, you got 20 minutes, you got 20 minutes, and that's it. And he would give us a thing. And it was kind of fun. You know, he and I were that kind of guy. So we both went to the same school. We had classes together, so I already knew him. But when I went to this ministry, there he was and we just fellowshipped. Here's my point. Today, that young man is no longer in the ministry. He was in the ministry. He was in the pastorate. He was in the Southern Baptist Convention. He got away from it, got bit, got hurt, whatever, started going charismatic. And I was grieved. I thought, well, there it is. You know, I feel bad for him. But I always knew his wife had a leaning toward that. And so, you know, it troubled me much. But as time went on, he actually left that. And the next thing you know, he's now what he calls a bridge builder for Islam and Christianity. He now embraces a belief that there is no hell. Now, listen, that is a teaching that is out there today. You've heard of Rob Bell, perhaps, if you read any of this stuff. He's a guy who came through the ranks. He was kind of a firebrand, you know, in the seeker-sensitive kind of world. And the Charles Stanley's son, Andy Stanley, these guys, they come along and they think they got a better idea. You don't need Jesus Loves Me. You don't need the Old Testament. You don't need anything. No. Whoever takes these things and teaches men to dismiss them, he says, they're going to be least in the kingdom. Now, so some of them could be saved. My point is, are they saved at all? What do I know about them? I know me. I can't answer for them. But I know this, that you and I need to tremble at God's Word. You and I need to realize this is the Word of the living God that we have before us today. And when he says he's going to bring judgment on people and that it's going to be an eternal judgment, that's serious stuff. And he says he's chiefly going to bring it upon them that walk after the flesh. Now, it's a very interesting verse that we have before us in verse 10, because the word chiefly is only used about 12 times in the Bible. You can imagine what it means, especially, chiefly. The idea is it's most of all. He's most of all going to just do them that walk after the flesh. Now, the word you would recognize elsewhere in the Bible of the 12 times, one is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 38. The Bible says that the Ephesians, after Paul told them that they'd never see his face again, the Bible says they were sorrowing that he was leaving. But they were sorrowing most of all for the words that he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Now, this is right after he's told them there's going to be false teachers come up among you, and they're not going to spare the flock. That was back 2,000 years ago. What do we got going on today? You say, well, it's not really a big problem. It's a huge problem because our world is inundated with churches on every corner in America, especially. And we have a sense to where we can pick what we want, like we've talked about in the past. You can get on Google, you can ask a question theologically, and you can pick which answer you like. Okay, it's the same thing with churches. You can pick which church you like, one that just feels comfortable and accommodating, and yeah, I like that, and they're not too hard, they're not too soft, they're just right, or like a Goldilocks kind of thing. You and I live in a day where you can pick and choose, and the Bible says men are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. So chiefly has that word used there in sorrowing most of all. It's the idea of most of all he's going to go after those false teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." And I like this one because this is just redemptive. Look what it says. We trust in the living God. He says, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now you say, is that universalism? No, it means he died for everybody. But the ones who will appropriate what he's done are the ones he will save. Because everybody has a chance, don't they? The Bible says he died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world in 1 John chapter 2. But here he's saying it again. He's saying, we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. We saw also that these men who are false teachers, they deny the Lord that bought them. We talked about that earlier. And here we're seeing it again. Paul's telling Timothy, he says he's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So he's the Savior of all men. And the Bible says in this verse also, it says these people walk after the flesh. The word after is an interesting word because it has the meaning to have high regard for the flesh. The word actually has the idea of coming up behind and they're following its dictates, okay? Now think about that. You're talking about a false teacher. You're talking about someone, and I can tell you this from my experience with this fellow I was telling you about a moment ago. He got into the Southern Baptist Convention. He was angling a lot, trying to get in positions because it was an organization and it was large and there was affluence to be had. And he never arrived at that, evidently. And whatever happened on the local level in the difficulties of day-to-day ministry, he got worn out and walked away and got into Bible studies in his home and talking about a word of knowledge and things like that. His wife would say, he's got a word of knowledge for you tonight. My point is, they're walking after, behind the flesh. What does the flesh say? The flesh says that the church is business. The flesh says the church is an opportunity to make money. You are living in a day where it's easy to walk after the flesh because it pays, okay? And I'm looking at this and he says they walk after the flesh and they despise governments. And the word government is the idea of lordliness. And we'll talk about that one in a minute, but it says they despise dominions or governments. And what we're looking at in the word despise is we're looking at a word that means that they literally look down upon dominions. And the word dominions is what we're seated with Christ above. Principalities, powers, angelic hosts, dominions. These people look down on it. The difference between a Bible study and church, one has said, is that a Bible study, people come together to assess the word. And a church, we come together to be assessed by the word. When somebody assesses something, they're judging it. Well, the Word judges us. And I think it was Isaac Newton said, this is the only book that's ever read me. Okay? This book reads me. The ancient words song we sing, ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you. That's what it does. But these people have taken the Bible and they've looked down on it like it's on an experimental table where they're going to take it apart and see what they can use. I've actually seen guys on TV do the Lord's Supper on TV and do it backwards. So what they do is they take the cup first and then they took the bread second and nobody said, you know, maybe we don't want to air that episode because you got it backwards. No, they just air it anyway. And it's that kind of thing because it's subject to them. These people look down upon the great dignities of the faith. And one of the things that's very interesting in my mind is that this word, it's kataphroneo. I've talked to you about this before. The Bible talks about we're supposed to be sober-minded as Christians. The word sober-minded is sophroneo. It comes from a Greek word sozo and phroneo. This word, kata phroneo. The phroneo has the idea of the midriff. You ever heard somebody say, I trusted my gut? You know, I just trusted my gut? You know, when you hear right, you know it's right. You just look at the stuff that we look at our world today and we see all this stuff in the political world. They're trying to confuse people's gut, right? What's right, what's wrong? Is a boy a girl or is a girl a boy? I mean, this stuff is weird. What are we even asking? There is no question. If you're going to get transitioned, you're going to get transitioned from a male to a female, not to something else. There's only two genders, so we've already satisfied that just by a little bit of deductive reasoning. But this is the world we're living in. Everything is subject to messing up your gut, messing up your conscience mind that is so clear on right and wrong. Children know it's wrong to hit and hurt and hate and, you know, all that stuff. Somebody wrote a book, right? They said, everything I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. And what we do is we know right and wrong intuitively. The Bible even says in chapter 2 of the book of Romans that the heathen do by nature those things that are contained in the law. Think about that. They do by nature because they know they shouldn't steal. They know they shouldn't kill. And then you get down into the littler things, the coveting and wanting something and how it just poisons you, you know, being covetous and wanting somebody else has. Envy, strife, all those things. And so we know intuitively. But this word here literally has the idea kataphroneo, and it means that the midriff is messed up. But this guy's messed up in the sense that his gut is saying, I'm trying to figure out how to make bank from my faith, make bank from my religion, make bank from my teaching. And so his gut, he's looking down, and he's assessing, and he's trying to figure out how to make money. He's trying to figure out how to make more people. It talks about the idea of they make merchandise of you. And he's going to talk about that a little bit further down. And again, I suggest to you, where the other word is sophroneo, we see sober-minded, that means to have a saving mind. To have a saving mind. You are to be sober-minded, beloved. It doesn't have to do with wine and drink. It means to have a saving mind. Why is it sober-minded? Because that's what we're here for. Why is it sober-minded? Because that is what the whole reason you and I were saved to do. He was the one who came into the world. He was the one who put up with this and said over and again, how long must I suffer you? He was the one who said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He was the one who say, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. He was the one who said, I have been sent to seek and to save that which is lost. And he was the one who said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Now guys, listen, that is the apogee of our faith. Salvation is not just a precious jewel. We sit back and we're like Gollum in the Lord of the Rings. Oh, my precious, I've got salvation. No. You need to go tell somebody else. You need to get somebody out of the thicket. You need to help somebody come to know Him. And you need to be careful about yourself because you realize that your credibility depends on your disposition. It depends on your conversation. It depends on what behaviors you allow and disallow. And that's why the Bible says, let your moderation be known to all men. And it doesn't mean moderate drinking. It means, why do you have a governor on your life? That's what it says. Yeah, those trucks we talked about, the Penske rental trailers to move your house and move your stuff. It's got a governor. You go 55, and that's it. You know, you bump the top, and you're not going any faster unless you're going downhill. And you're like, woohoo, we're going down. We're going 65 now. Guys, I'm trying to make the point. You and I know that that's what you're here for. And if you're not having any inkling that that's true, then the sophroneo is not there. Okay, you're not sober-minded because you're not thinking saving thoughts. You're not thinking with sober-mindedness. Remember when we used to say, mind your manners. That means your mind's all over your manners. Remember, you're supposed to be saving-minded all the time.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.